8. Noam Anur turned the message this way and that in his mind and saw it sharp in every angle. It was hard to wrap his thoughts around it without feeling the cut so pregnant with the possibility of betrayal, it seemed.
Who sent you, Lohensul?
He asked the messenger softly. The messenger was a shamed one, his shoulders and face a mass of poorly healed scar tissue. His eyes were concealed by a constricted urun cloth, placed there before he'd begun his descent into the dark, dank places of Noam Anur's domain, the domain of the prophet. A wave of his hand, and Lohensul would never see anything again.
I come on behalf of the Shaper Nen-Yim, Sul answered. I know little more than that. I was taken from my work detail, given the message, and sent to find you.
Noam Anur nodded. Sul had been checked for implants, of course, though no test short of thorough dissection was certain. Was someone looking at him now from some hidden pore in the messenger's skin? If so, they saw not Noam Anur, but the prophet Yushah, his face hidden behind a grotesque Uglith masker that showed only one spectacularly shamed, eyes festering with inflammation and lesions, rendering the visage almost unrecognizable as Yuuzhan Vong in origin. His surroundings would tell them little more. Yuuzhan Tar was a warren of rusting holes like this one.
Why does the Shaper not come to me herself? She may not leave Lord Shimra's compound, I am told. She takes great risk even in sending this message.
That was undoubtedly true. What little Noam Anur knew of Nen Yim suggested that her role was one that Shimra was not eager to have widely known. He had lent her for a time to Sa Vong La, but since her return from that liaison, she had been little seen or heard from. Indeed, Noam Anur had wondered if she had been quietly disposed of. And perhaps she had. There was no knowing whether this message actually came from her. Since he'd lost N'Gala, his spy in Shimra's court, much was uncertain.
Why does she seek me out?
Noam Anur asked.
She heard of your prophecy of the new world. Her studies lead her to believe it is a true one. She desires to see this world for herself. So you have already said, why does she seek my aid? Who else could give it? Shimra and his minions are corrupt. They have done everything they can to deny the existence of our Redeemer. He and the elite will do much more, because they know that if the truth is known, they will be seen as the false leaders they are. And you, my lord, will be seen as the true prophet.
What does a Shaper care for that? Noam Anur wondered aloud.
Nen Yim seeks only truth, Sul said.
You've already told me you do not know her, Noam Anur pointed out. How can you speak for her or pretend to understand her motivations?
This is the message, prophet, Sul answered. I only repeat it.
A vague chanting had gone up among Noam Anur's acolytes. He began to wish he had received Sul in private rather than in front of 30 or so followers. A firm voice cut above the rest.
Praised be the prophet! He has indeed prophesied truly. The planet of our salvation, our deliverance, is now in our very grasp. And Lord Shimra's own Shaper knows it is true. Our destiny has become a force stronger than gravity.
Do not be hasty, Kunra, another voice said. This may be nothing more than a trap, a deception to lure the prophet into their grasp.
If so, they must fail, Kunra said.
He turned to Noam Anur.
You are the prophet, are you not? Did you not see this as well? Did you not see yourself walking through the forests of the new world, preparing it for us?
I saw it, Noam Anur agreed.
He had little choice. He had added that little embellishment a few days before. But what was Kunra up to? Kunra had been with him since the beginning of this whole farce. He knew who Noam Anur really was, that the prophet and his planet were equally fabulous.
Then the time has come to rise against Shimra.
No, Noam Anur slipped out. Do not presume to interpret my prophecy when I still sit here among you. The time is not yet come.
But we have found the planet, Kunra said. Let me go, Great One. I will liberate the Shaper from Shimra. I will quest with her for the new world. If there is betrayal, our cause will suffer little. If this is truth,
truth must be practical, Noam Anur said.
We would have to flow rivers of shamed blood to liberate this shaper, and still she does not know the location of the planet.
I don't understand, Kunra said. Do you fear your own prophecy?
Quiet, Nome Anor said, his mind whirling furiously.
Zonama's seacoat was indeed important, if only because Shimra feared it so much. He knew, too, that the Shaper had been given what remained of the Seacotan ship to study, and it would seem she had discovered something quite important. This message suggested one of two possibilities. Either she was telling the truth, and she needed help from outside the system to escape Shimra and find the planet, or, more likely, they thought Nome Anor knew where the planet was. They couldn't know that he had learned of the planet by eavesdropping on Shimra and Ekambal, that what he had learned there was all he knew. Well, not quite all. He had heard rumors that the Jedi had found the world, which struck him suddenly as a very fortuitous piece of information.
The prophecy is indeed nearing fulfillment, Nome Anor told his followers. But something remains. A piece is missing. When I set foot upon the new world, I shall not be alone. Jedi will be with me.
A collective gasp went up at that. Even Kunra seemed disconcerted.
Great one, the time has come,
Nome Anor said solemnly.
As Vua Rapung fought with Anakin Solo, so shall I and the Jedi free this Shaper and find our world.
Cheers, of course. Let the Jedi do the work and take the risk of freeing Nen Yim. If they failed, they would be blamed rather than him. If they succeeded, then perhaps he would indeed bring his own prophecy to fruition. At the moment, he had little to lose.